The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
And now we want to welcome Liz Dunn. She's Senior Analyst with Macquarie. And we're talking about JCPenney. The stock dropping precipitously today. Liz, thanks for joining us on the RingCentral phone line.
Thanks for having me.
So an $84 million share secondary offering, almost $1 billion worth, in fact. Was this a surprise to you who covers JCPenney?
I thought that they would do a capital raise. I didn't think it was going to be a straight equity offering. So it is a surprise.
So what kind of, is it something you would have thought of as an option, but just put there as sort of a tail kind of option?
Well, they've already levered up the balance sheet quite a bit, and so I guess it makes sense in the context of that. And if you're investing in pennies at this point, you're investing in the future turn, and the option value optionality, you get the value really with equity. So I guess that's what they were thinking.
Well, let's step back a bit because this is a storied brand. This is a brand that has seen better days. This is a company that had new leadership. We had Ron Johnson, the bright guy from Apple. He was let go. Mike Ullman is back, the man who retail analysts are very mixed on. Some would say, get him out of there. He's too old. You need new blood. And others would say, no, Mike has done a pretty good job at JCPenney. Give him a chance and he'll do a good job again.
I think that's right. I think, people are very mixed. From my perspective, Mike Ullman was the only person that could come in and really hit the ground running. We didn't really have the luxury of allowing someone to come in and spend the first 100 days evaluating things. The situation was pretty dire when Mike Ullman stepped back into this to this organization. He knew, where all the bodies were buried and could very quickly step in and start to make changes. But I think he's done a fantastic job shoring up the liquidity of the company with multiple capital raises, and I think he's also encouraged the vendor community so that they feel more confident about the direction of the company.
Well, you point out, we've seen this, that it's obviously going to be dilutory, and it's going to dilute existing equity holders by 38%. You've done the math. The price is a 7.4% discount to yesterday's closing price, which I suppose is exactly what we're seeing in the market today. I mean, existing equity holders can't be that happy, or are they happy in the sense that maybe this will give the stock a bit of a goosing?
I think it cuts both ways. You know, they certainly are getting diluted with this offering, but at the same time, it gives the company much more runway to try to execute a turnaround. And so for those that were concerned that there might be a liquidity crunch next year, I think that's now off the table, and the company has sufficient time to try to turn the business around.
So let's say you could do anything with JCPenney's. You're a retail analyst. I think your point is so well taken about Mike Ullman being the guy who could hit the ground running. So you're sitting down with top management. What are you going to do to get JCPenney growing again, to get the stock price rising, to get people back in the stores? Can you do that now?
I think they're facing some pretty big challenges. The problem, as I see it, is that the moderate department store space has been under significant pressure and losing market share to other forms of retail, to the mass channel, to the off-price channel, and to the online channel. And so I think you have to ask yourself, what are those other channels offering that the moderate department store segment is not, or that they're falling short on, and attempt to address some of those areas to offer customers more value, more convenience, and a better assortment of brands. I think for Penny specifically, they need to really scream value to consumers in their marketing, in their in-store visual presentation, and with the actual prices out the door. I think value is number one. But I also think they need to continue to communicate very loudly with consumers what's changing and what's coming back, so that consumers can sort of understand that Penny's is going through a period of transition, and they might want to come back in the stores and check out some of the change that's happened.
So what will they do with this money? I mean, is this already spent at this point, you think, Liz?
No, I don't. I think that they are saying that they plan to have $1.2 billion in cash by year end, even before this offering. And so I think it's really just to give them enough cushion to execute the transition. And if they are continuing to burn cash next year, this should ease some fears about liquidity. They really wanted to move before they needed it. It's always harder to raise cash when you need it. I don't think they'll need it this year, but I think it will help fund some cash flow losses next year.
Are they going to make any big announcements in terms of partnerships? I'm talking about partnerships with designers or partnerships with, you know, I mean, we're having Donny Osmond on the show today, for example, with his new home care range. And we know the whole debacle with Macy's over Martha Stewart. Will that sort of give some positive press in the next few months if there is anything like that?
I'm not expecting positive press where that goes. I think that if anything, we're going to hear about partnerships that are perhaps ending. You know, we've seen some news in the press about some of the home partnerships that that have been problematic, where some of the home vendors are saying that they didn't get the proper space, the space that they were promised. I think that the company will be looking through all of the negotiations that were executed by the prior management team and evaluating whether or not those are really appropriate given the current go-forward strategy of the company. So I would not expect them to add many new partnerships, and I think they probably stand to lose just as many as they add or be a net loser in terms of some of those partnerships. But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. They're adding back private label brands that the consumer has kind of said we miss. We want this these value priced private label brands in the stores, and so they'll add some of those back, which are not as flashy and not going to generate headlines, but the consumer wants them.
Liz,
I wanted to ask you, Liz, in terms of the prospects, I mean, when your recent report looking at how you're valuing JCPenney, and part of it is a liquidation value, part of it is a turnaround value, how much is JCPenney's future, near term even, right? The rest of the year, the next 6 months, going to be turned by the strength of the economy overall, by the consumer? Could that rising tide lift their boat? And or by exactly what they do with their stores?
Yeah, I think that the macro environment is very important. When I spoke with the company yesterday, they were cognizant of the fact that the macro environment has been a little bit choppy for them and for other retailers this year, and that one of the factors that they expect to sort of turn in their favor in the fourth quarter is a little bit better environment for consumer spending in soft lines categories and in department stores in general. And so, to the extent that that doesn't happen, I think perhaps they might not get back to positive comps in the fourth quarter. But I think they have a very good opportunity to drive traffic and purchase conversion based on their own marketing messages that should be getting louder and maybe a little bit more focused the closer we get to the holiday period. And I think the private label product, adding that back to the stores, I think is going to offer consumers more value and maybe convince a little bit more purchase conversion in the stores. So I think it's about, 60-70% they can determine their own destiny, and the balance is probably the macro backdrop.
Liz, just give us a quick overview of some of the rest of your coverage universe. You have outperforms on Coach, for example, and Coach hasn't been doing all that well. Also, Ralph Lauren and Abercrombie & Fitch would be some of your best picks, right?
Yeah, Coach is my top pick right now, and I really think that it's a fabulous turnaround story at a very attractive valuation, some of the best returns in the universe of companies that I cover, or even in the broader universe. The return on equity and return on invested capital is very, very strong for Coach. They're going through a bit of a transition. They have new leadership. They're trying to transform their business into a lifestyle approach where they have more than just handbags, and they're freshening up store environments. They're increasing advertising.
They're going into shoes. Is that a good idea?
Yeah, I think shoes are a great idea for them. I think the brand translates very well into footwear, and they've had a small business there. They're trying to make it bigger and more aligned with the quality and the look of their handbags. There's also an international expansion story. So multiple layers to the story in the near term. I'm not expecting anything great on the top line, but they're buying back stock aggressively this year, and they pay a nice dividend. Mm. So the company has said, we're going to pay shareholders for their patients.
Shoes always good to me, Vonnie.
Too many of them, that's the problem.
All right, stick around. 1 o'clock hour of the Hayes Advantage. We'll be talking personal finance with Peggy Collins of Bloomberg News.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.